Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Michelle Price, and you're listening to the Business of Online Thought Leadership, where people come to listen to those who are leading the edge of the web with social media, podcasting, blogging, and now Google Plus. Today, I've got Scott Bradley with me. Scott was an early power user of Facebook. He figured out everything there was to know because he was actually part of Boston College when Facebook first launched back in 2006. And I always look to Scott to show me what's coming next. And Google's released a brand new social network called Google Plus, and it's gotten 10 million users in just 2 weeks. And Scott was the one who invited me because it's invite-only status, and now I've influenced him to share his thinking on how he's using and will be using Google Plus to grow his business and influence. And he's got some really, really interesting data to share with us. So without further ado, welcome Scott Bradley to the show.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having me. Really happy to be here.
All right. So Google Plus. I titled the show, How to Use Google Plus to Grow Your Followers and Influence. And you had some really, really good insights when we were having a conversation the other day because of a project that we're working on. So I just want to dive right in because I think that you said some things that got my brain thinking. So I want to kind of pick your brain. We only have a half hour. So I want to pick your brains and have you point out to us what you think is so great about Google Plus. And I have to say that I'm seeing myself now just how great it's going to be. I really enjoy it. So the first question I have for you is this. What the world needs is another social network, like I need a hole in my head. What's so different about Google Plus?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I think a lot of people right now are asking themselves the same question. You know, up till now, they've either been on Facebook and they've been on Twitter and they've kind of managed themselves on both. But the truth is, you know, what Google Plus is, in my mind at least, is it's combining the best of Twitter and the best of Facebook and adding in another key element into all of that in how powerful it can be over a long-term basis in using it. You know, in Twitter, some of the key elements that are integrated in Google Plus that I am really a fan of, so others aren't, but I am, is that, you know, within Twitter, you can have people that follow you and see your stream, but you don't necessarily have to follow them back. That's, you know, one of the key things first that I notice, and I'm like, wow, this is really brilliant. And then at the same time,
let me ask you a question about, you can follow them or they can follow you and you don't have to follow them back. What's the significance of that for people that don't necessarily
The significance of that is that you're able to see other people stream even if they don't follow you back. So I was just going to say within Facebook, for you to have to see someone stream, they have to accept you into their network as a friend. And once they accept, then you're able to see their posts in their newsfeed. Now, I do know that there are So, you know, so like in Twitter, it's like you can go follow the Ashton Kutchers, the big celebrities and whatnot, and you can see their streams. But, you know, the chances that they're going to follow you back are slim to none. But the truth is you're signing up to that person's Twitter account because you want to see what they're putting out. So there's that same capacity within the Google Plus. And then on top of that, you know, with Facebook, they basically integrated the Facebook stream within, you know, being able to put animated GIFs, content, whereas like in Twitter, you're only able to see 140 character description with a link or whatever, or a link to a picture. So it's a very active thing that you got to be reading and clicking and reading and clicking, and it's kind of somewhat boring now. And what Google has done within Google Plus that I'm just really love is is they've integrated the functionality of following follower within the framework of how Twitter's set up, and but also integrated the best of Facebook, which is the news feed and all the interaction that can happen within the news feed. So it's like, for instance, you can be a major celebrity and put something out in your news feed, and you can have 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 people following you, and you can interact with those people even if they aren't your friend. Whereas in Twitter, Twitter, you'd pop a tweet out, and the only way you'd really be able to interact with people is them at replying you. But it's like, even though you may have 1,000 people at replying you, those 1,000 people don't know the other 999 people are at replying you as well. So
okay, you just gave me something that I want to make sure that we let people actually absorb. What I just got from what you said is there's not so much of the lingo or the mechanics that you have to know before you can really become a power user. Like on Twitter, you have to really understand how to use an at reply, how to use a hashtag, how to do all these things. Whereas with Google Plus, what I'm getting is you get the same effect without having to know the lingo.
Yes, but also at the same time, it gives you the same amount of leverage. But what the beauty is like, again, going at, you know, you're a celebrity with hundreds of thousands of people, you get to push something out and then create the conversation within the thread, just like you are in Facebook. But the truth is, it's like they took the best of the Facebook news feed and put it right in the feed of Google Plus, but then they integrated the follower-following relationship within Twitter, where the engagement that happens under the post is really where the gold is, and really where the, you know, you have these people, but you still kind of, what's the big thing that's the big wall between them is that there's no wall of, oh, this person has to accept my friend request before they can see my posts. But you see, so it's like those two key elements blended together in one. And it's just like, wow, people are subscribing to people, not out of, oh, the person's following me, so I'm going to follow them, which happens in Twitter. And then what happens is unless you create those lists, your stream gets so out of whack. And, you know, you have these people on Twitter that have 100,000 followers and they're following 100,000 people. And there's no quality conversation going on. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Okay, but so you said the first key word, conversation. It's what I found is that it seems like you could actually have conversations on Google Plus that you really can't have on Facebook or on Twitter, and everybody who subscribes has the benefit of seeing that conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can still have the same type of conversations on Facebook, but the truth is you only have the limited reach of those who have accepted your friend request or have friended and they have accepted. So within Google Plus, it's as open and free-flowing as possible, where it's really the conversation is around content and in the comments, but at the same time, the ability to see people's content, but again, having that framework within the Twitter following-follower relationship incorporated with the Facebook newsfeed is really where the power is, because, you know, within Twitter, you can go into Twitter search and start engaging with people, right? So say you're interested in roller coasters. I mean, I'm a roller coaster nut. I can go into search.twitter.com and type in roller coaster or maybe well-known roller coasters that I want to ride or have ridden and have conversations with people. But the truth is, the only people seeing the conversation is between you and the other person via the at reply section of Twitter. But in Google Plus, you can do that same thing, except when you contact that person based on their post, all the people in the thread can also see the interaction that you're having with the person as well. But really where the true leverage is happening is, you know, Facebook puts a cap on how many people you can be friends with. But in Twitter, there is no cap with how many people can follow you. So imagine for a second, in your Google Plus profile, say you have 100,000 people following you, but they are only following 100 people each. Can you imagine the reach that you have within that? Of as an influencer, if you have 100,000 people who have subscribed to your Google Plus stream because they want to see what you're pushing out, and every time you push it out, you have almost, you know, 100,000 or less, you know, eyeballs on your stuff, and they've subscribed because they want it. You know, within Facebook, you're only limited to the potential 5,000 people who are your friends. Now it's open up massiveness, but then also it gives you the opportunity to engage with the people who leave comments based on what you put out. And we haven't even gotten to the concept of the circles, which is even more powerful. But
well, here's,
you know,
the question I have. I had a question from somebody that I know. Warren Whitlock is his name, and we were wondering if Google Plus, how is Google Plus different from Facebook, or are they just going to be two competing social networks? What's your thought on that?
Well, there's a couple things that I've noticed over the past week that I've been using it and, you know, driving visits through my websites and whatnot. And the very first thing is that within Facebook, what most people don't realize is that at the top, if they look at their news feed, there's going to be two specific links. The very first link is going to be the top news link, and then the other one is the most recent link. And the real key thing to understand first is the difference between those two things. So tackling that in detail in the first difference. Within Facebook, when you have your top news selected, the news feed that you see there is really determined by what's the Facebook algorithm. And the Facebook algorithm is calculated based on what's called EdgeRank. And they basically use the EdgeRank platform on the back end to determine whether things should be on the top news of your friend's news feed or not. And typically, you know, as a social media person, as an internet marketer, you're always trying to get your pieces of content to your friends' top news feeds because that's where they're mostly spending the majority of their time. Because, you know, if you go to someone like me or
that's
some
the default,
other people,
right?
That's the default. If you go to, you know, and you're following 5,000 people, there's no way that you're going to open up the most recent because there's no way that you'll be able to keep up with all the posts because you're following 5,000 people. So by spending your time on the top news, that's really where your key content and you as the marketer want your stuff to always be. So that's kind of the first iteration. And in saying that, the goal to get your stuff to your friends' top news feeds is based on the amount of likes, comments, interactions that you get on your posts within a specific amount of time frame. So, you know, most people think, oh, I'm going to put out a status update and hit my 5,000 friends. Well, yeah, you hit them in their most recent feed, but the truth is only a small fraction of them actually saw it because the majority of them are staying on their top news feed. So the reach is really calculated based on how much Facebook likes your posts and determined by the edge rank of what they give it. So that's key indicator number one. And number two is within Google+, it's just like a Twitter stream. So everyone that you follow, you see all of their posts. There's no back-end algorithm determining whether you should see it or you shouldn't see it. If you're following a group of people and you have them in what's called a circle, and you follow that circle throughout the entire day, there isn't, you know, a top news and a most recent. It's all most recent, but because you're able to quantify and group people in small circles and small relationships, so say you have, you know, when you sign up for Google+, you get a friend circle. So all of your close friends that you know, love, like, and trust, and you can pick up the phone and call, you can sit on that all day, and you're going to see every single one of their posts, whereas if you sat in Facebook, you know, and you follow more than just your friends, if you sat on top news, it would be extremely inconvenient, and you'd probably miss stuff from your Facebook friends that you ideally would probably want to see. So
the answer to the question is you don't see them really competing because they're two different networks. They're two
different
cultures.
Two different networks, two different purposes, because at the same time, when you look in Google+, it's like, you know, Facebook has the messaging and you can, you know, your privacy settings and whatnot. I mean, Google, I see it being a very free-flowing network, but at the same time, within Google+, you also have major, major control over how you share and who you share it to and what you share. So, like, for instance, you and I can have a conversation within a conversation, but only make it limited to only you seeing it and me seeing it. And so, like, I can, you know, pull up my Google+ and in the top status bar put, hey, Michelle, where do you want to go to lunch today? And then when at the bottom of that status update, you basically are able to click the link that says add more people, or, you know, if you X out, it says add circles or people to share it with. I only share it with you. You're the only one that sees it. So even though you're within the Google+ framework, you can control how you're talking to specific people, when, and how, what you say. And say you only want to send a message to two or three people and you only want them to see it, that's the way you can do it. If you want to send it to your entire public stream, you choose the public and you can send it out. So,
here's a question I have. Based on what you're talking about. You said Google Plus is transforming your behavior on social media. So how specifically are you? I know that you're a very, very strategic thinker. I haven't met anybody, I don't think, who thinks more strategically than you. So what are you doing? How are you transforming your behavior between what you're going to do? You're saying move your Facebook network to Google. Tell me what's different for you.
Well, I'm finding the balance between my Facebook and my Google Plus. What I'm noticing and how it's changing my behavior, the very first thing is that I'm opening up my Google Plus first rather than opening up my Facebook first. And here's why. It's because I've segmented every single solitary person that I've got made a friend that I've added to my circles. And I've set it up in a way where I can look at specific groups of people and get the immediate news that I want that's relevant to me as soon as possible. Whereas in Facebook, I would open it up and I only want to focus on my top news, and what's on the top news may or may not be necessarily what I want. So that's kind of the first thing. The second thing, and what was so massively powerful when I saw this, is that you are able to classify and segment the people you add to a circle from day one. If we all remember, at least when I started in Facebook in 2004 and, Twitter in 2007 when it was, the early adopter phase of each thing, and when Facebook was only in college, you just connected with all your friends, and Facebook assumed that everyone that you connected with was your friend and only your friend, not these random people that may share an interest but you really don't know. So the thing that's so powerful is that within Google Plus, the ability to segment who you're able to see and how you're able to see what they're showing is massively effective. And the truth is why it's so powerful is that, say, for instance, maybe 5,000 followers, okay, of your people that are following you on Google Plus, have you in the follow this every single solitary post of this person, because every single solitary post of this person is important, relevant, and I want to make sure I don't miss it, okay? And say they only have 5 people in that circle, okay? And you have 5,000 people on that receiving end who have that same circle and only have 5 people in it. When you share a piece of content, you can almost guarantee that you're going to get 5,000 click-throughs through what you put out, or 5,000 eyeballs to that piece of content, and a certain percentage are going to click over to it. That is powerful. And when we started in Facebook and we started in Twitter, they released their lists later. And where a lot of people in my network and your network and various networks who are already following thousands of people, who are already following and having 4,000, 5,000 Facebook friends, it's like, great. Why didn't you start that feature before I made and built this network the way I did? And almost like it changed the way people were using and consuming the information in the network. So with saying that, 5,000 people have you in a circle with only 5 people and they want to pay attention to every post, so it's like they can have their circle be, important posts. And they know that every post in there is important, and it's from someone that they want to get the information from.
I think here might be a key thing that I'm hearing you talk about that I don't know, Scott, that the average or even above average social media, we're talking about small business people and entrepreneurs and people who want to learn how to leverage this. Why don't you share with them, the assumption is they understand how important content of your post
Correct.
Why don't you explain a little bit about that, because I think that might help people understand why you're saying what you're saying. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you get people to, because this is about how to increase your followers and influence and actually influence them to come into your circle. I think people need to understand that it's the content, silly, right?
Yes, the content and really the power of the engagement that you have with people within the conversations around the content.
Meaning
that, I'm looking at my circles here, and I have probably 15 circles. And one of the circles that I have set up, and this can be applicable to any business owner, any consultant, whatever. I have a circle that's called Attracted unknown. And what that circle is for me is that is where I'm putting every single solitary person that adds me to one of their circles, but I don't know them. But at the same time, when I want to spend time and say, oh, I want to make some more new relationships, I'm going to pay attention to that circle because I want to see, are there people in here that I can strategically have some great conversations with that I can then move to my acquaintance circle, that I can then move to my friend circle?
So then
and in those engaged conversations,
and
deepen in the relationship. So it's in a sense like if you can imagine the level of your relationship almost like on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being they're my close friend and I can call them at any period of time, my attracted unknown circle is at number 1 because I know that this person added me to their circle because they were interested in either what I was talking about, how I was engaging it with them, et cetera, so on and so forth. But I really don't know who is this person. What do they do? What do they like? What is their website? And you can really tell a lot about a person on Google+ based on what they're sharing and what they're saying, and even more so, how they're engaging with other people within the comment stream. So really, one of the key strategies that I would recommend people do that are listening to this call is create an attracted unknown circle and put everybody there that you don't know who adds you into that circle and have them start there. And then maybe once or twice a day, go in there for 15 minutes and go and see if you can engage strategically with pieces of content and status updates that those people have put out. Because the truth is, people don't care what you have to share unless you care about what they share. And people don't care about commenting on your stuff if you don't show them that you care enough about that you like what they're putting out. You know, say someone shares an article about something that you may not agree with, okay? And in that you can go, you know, listen, I read the article, but for instance, I just don't agree with this proportion part. What do you think, John, who's in my attracted unknown circle? You're engaging with that person directly. And the beauty is within the Google comments, you can actually call out people directly by putting out a plus and then their name. And with that, if they have their settings set up in the fashion, they'll be sent an email and say, you know, Scott Bradley left a comment on your post titled XYZ123.
Oh, really?
Yes. So you can have strategic interactions with people within that. And within those strategic interactions, because people are like, wow, this person's really paying attention to me. Wow, I've seen that person comment on my stuff before. Wow, they really are really cool. I need to know more about them. That's when you setting up your profile strategically. And if you go to my profile, I've strategically put it very short, sweet, and to the point. You know, some people are throwing out these long things. The bottom line is you want people to click over into your own domain, which is your blog. And if you can position it, if you want,
so you're,
you know,
saying
people,
push, you're using it to push traffic to your blog pretty much.
Right, because my blog is my home on the web, and it tells all about me, what I do. You can go and read my relevant content, etc. But it all starts with the engaged relationships that I'm building within that attracted unknown. And you kind of have two types of circles, I believe. I believe you have circles where it's incoming information that you want to sort and sort. So like for me, you know, when you first start at Google+, you get friends, you get family, acquaintances, and following. And then other than that, you can create other circles. So some of my circles, to give some people ideas, I have Boston College for all of my Boston College friends. I have celebrities. I have content websites. So content websites, when Google+ launches all the business ones, I'm going to put all the content websites that I like to follow. So Search Engine Land, The Next Web, Mashable, etc. I put that in there. It's like, oh, I need some great content.
You know what? Is that going to get rid of – will that eliminate the need for feed readers? Because one of the questions I have for you is you say that Google+ is the best way to manage your content consumption online. So
yes, I would say
that
so too.
Would be a, it's almost going to negate the need for the reader. And now, you know what? We only have 7 minutes left. So
gosh,
I want to make sure we
fast.
Get to – I know it went really fast. We're going to have to do this again. Because I'm not done asking questions. So, why do you think your Google+ following is a measure of true influence? Why do you think that over Twitter, over, like, remember the influencer project that blew up in Fast Company's face and you know, clout now, your clout score goes up and down, based on whether you're engaging with people or not. What makes you say that Google+ is going to be the measure of true influence?
Well, I would say two things. Very first thing, Google Plus is giving people an opportunity to really reset their entire social network into one specific place where it's like, okay, I'm going to build this one right because I made a mistake with Twitter. I made a mistake with Facebook. Maybe in Twitter, I followed too many people back that I probably shouldn't have. In Facebook, I probably accepted too many friend requests, and now I don't want to go back to my 2,000, 3,000 friends that I have no clue who they are, and they have no clue who I am.
How did you get into my head?
How did you get into my head? What happened? Whatever. And
so you got into my head with what you just said.
The truth is, I believe the reason why that Google Plus is really going to show true influence online is because of the we spoke about this earlier, the ability to segment people from day one. And if you have 100,000 people following you, and they followed you because they want what you've put out. You know, there are the people, I'll admit, there are the people that say, oh, I'm a mutual follower backer. But I think that's just stupid. And if people are mad at me, fine. But the fact is, why would you follow somebody back out of guilt based on they followed you? The fact is, you want to be efficient and effective in your media consumption, engagement, etc. And the truth is, even if you don't follow someone back, they can still engage with you directly within the comments. And, you know, another kind of circle that I have here is engage with me in comments. So even though I may not be following them, I'll still be able to see their posts within comments. You know, so that's kind of thing. But again, going back to it, it's the ability that people will be able to put people in the specific places that they want to pay attention to and almost at the same time engage with the person when they want to. In a sense, Google is given a platform for someone to completely synergize how they receive content from those that they want to receive them from, but at the same time, share content with those who they want to share content to by blending the best of Facebook and the best of Twitter. And, you know, the thing is that imagine you're following only 100 people and you're really paying attention to what they're putting out, how you're engaging with them, but you have 100,000 people following you because they love what you put out. That, I believe, that number to me is more important because I think the beauty and the benefit and value of Facebook that I have always loved is the integration of comments within content and the conversations that happen, you know, the whispers that go back and forth with people within the messages. But now you can do it via the comments.
One more thing, Scott, because it's like 3 minutes left, and I remember there was this one super important thing that we talked about before this conversation that I wanted to explore just a bit. And I said, how would influence be measured? And you're talking about it right now, but specifically, you said that influence would be measured by people who have you in circles and traffic generated into your blog posts from people who put you in circles. So is social circle inclusion the currency that you're looking for?
Yes, I believe the influence factor is, okay, how many people have me in a circle? That's kind of number one. Number two is I share a piece of content. How many comments and plus ones do I get based on what I share? That's kind of metric number two. And metric number three would be how much traffic am I driving into a piece of content that I'm sharing or, you know, via a what status update that I'm sharing. So, like, if it's just a status update, you really can only measure comments, engaged comments, and plus ones. But if it's a blog post to your own blog or another piece of content, it's traffic into that. And then taking it a step further is how many positive forward-moving actions did I get on that traffic that was pushed into that blog post or that video or whatever. And, you know, the positive metrics could be opt-ins into an email list. That could be comments on that actual video. That could be likes or, you know, retweets or reshares or stumble-upons or, you know, whatever you're tracking from the traffic that's generated from the medium to that place.
Got it. Well, you know, I just
really
got the 60-second marker, and I hate that I got the 60-second marker. This must have been one of those we could have gone an hour for. So what I'm going to do is say we need to come back because I want to hone in on that social circle currency because I think that's the key to what people need to understand about how to leverage Google Plus.
Yes.
And so
well, I will be also
listening.
doing I also will be doing free webinars.
Let people know where they can find you. Okay.
Yeah.
So free webinar,
if you go to scottbradley.name is my website. It's scottbradley.name is my website. And I am doing Google Plus webinars here and there. If you want more information about that, go to scottbradley.name/Google-Plus-Training. And you can sign up there.
And you know what I'll do is I'll update the description here to include that information. Your website's there, but not the free webinar thing. Scott, thanks so much. You've been listening to The Business of Online Thought Leadership. I'm Michelle Price. I've just been speaking with Scott Bradley about Google Plus. And Scott, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. And you're going to come back, and we're going to actually dig into this a little deeper. Goodbye, everybody.
Love it. Bye, everybody.